So, we have already finished two books, amen, and we will be starting today the book of Zechariah, amen.
Amen.
So, Father God, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for this service, Lord. Lord, I ask that you help me step back and allow you to come forth. Anoint this word, let it be from you, O God. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your word, like Sister Denise said. We thank you that you are always teaching us how to live this life. We give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, let us go to the book of Zechariah.
Yes, amen.
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 Amen. So, as you know, this is a teaching. So, you can whoop and hoop and hop if you want, but this is a teaching. And if you have a question, you know, it's interactive. Amen? That's the way we learn. Amen? Praise be to God. So, let me tell you about Zechariah. So, he was a prophet of God. And this message comes to us after the people had returned from exile. You remember the 70 years of exile?
Yes.
Where they were in Babylon? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. So this is after that time, and after Cyrus and Darius, the Medo-Persian Empire, after they took over, you know, and the people went back to Israel. Amen?
Amen.
This is the time of this prophet. Amen? And you know who was his contemporary?
No.
Haggai. Haggai, the prophet. They were both ministering at the same time. Haggai, who spoke about what? The temple. Amen?
Amen.
And here's Zechariah. They're both ministering at the same time. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this book contains highly symbolic visions. And it's about God's protection and the need for spiritual renewal. That's basically what the book is about. Amen? So, We're gonna go to chapter 1, right? And we're gonna go to verse 1. So you understand the people have returned. Haggai is preaching about rebuilding the temple. Zechariah is his contemporary. He's preaching prophetically. God is speaking about spiritual renewal and the protection of the people. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go. Somebody read Zechariah verse 1.
Oh, I'll read. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Dido, prophet, saying, "The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore, say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts."
Okay, so let's break those verses down. Amen?
Amen.
So here it is. As I said before, the temple reconstruction has been delayed. Okay, the people are procrastinating in building the temple. That's Haggai's message, Haggai's message. But here, Zechariah is bringing a different message. Amen?
Amen.
So what is he saying? Amen? Mark, read verse 1 all over again.
In the eighth month of the second year of Darius,
mm-hmm.
the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Dido, the prophet, saying,
Okay, stop there. Amen. And here it is. So this is around October, November, 520 B.C. 520 B.C. And Darius is ruling. The Persian king Darius, he's ruling. And so Zechariah, what is he saying? Very simply, God has given him a word to give to the people. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so what is the word that God is saying? The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Amen? And verse 2?
Yes.
Okay, now, the Bible gives you the time. It gives you the time. This king was ruling, which tells you this wasn't a myth. Amen? This is history.
Yes,
God is not giving you myths. He's giving you history. Amen?
Yes.
Our Bible is also an historical book. Amen? You
Amen.
Can count on it. Every event in the Bible that speaks about a time, you see history. And if you look it up in other books, you will find that those events actually occurred. Amen? So he says, he says, the Lord was very angry, has been angry with your fathers. So you know who their fathers are, right? The generations that preceded them, right?
Right.
Because if we say your father and your fathers, it doesn't mean that you have more than one father.
No.
It means the generations that have preceded. So God has been angry. You know, the prophet is telling them, God has been angry with your fathers. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So these are the generations before the exile. Remember, they were exiled to Babylon, and it was predicted in Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah. Amen?
Amen.
And why were they exiled? Well, see, when the Lord says something, it's going to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Good or bad, it's going to come to pass. And the Lord was sick of their idolatry. The Israelites were practicing idolatry. They were breaking the covenant that God had made. They were rejecting the prophets. And God was fed up, and God... And also because they were not taking care of the land the way God said they should take care of the land.
Yes.
Amen? So God told them they were going to exile. God told them every seventh year you are to let the land rest. Remember? We spoke about that?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do it. So for every, he gave them 70 years of exile because of that. For all the years that they did not allow the land to rest. What does that tell you? That's got to hold true today.
That's
what do
right.
they do with the land today? They're pumping pesticides and chemicals to make it produce more, but they're not allowing the land to rest and regenerate itself.
Right.
And like we would like to say, rejuvenate itself. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So we need rest. To rejuvenate ourselves. But you know, so that's why God sent the Israelites into exile. Now they've come out of exile. They're back in Israel. You know, those that wanted to come back home went back home. But they've been delaying. They've been delaying the building of the temple. They've been delaying worshiping God. Amen. And God is fed up. So he uses the prophet Zechariah to bring forth this message of how annoyed he is with his people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Remember, God had made a covenant with these people, and they were supposed to follow certain laws.
Right.
And they did not. Amen? Hallelujah. And let's go to verse 3.
Therefore, say to them, Thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts.
Amen. So this echoes through all the prophets. This what God is saying. He has been saying, and he is still saying to us today, return to me, and I will return to you.
Yeah.
So it's not that God doesn't want to return to his people. It's the people that don't want to return to God. Amen? Yeah. God is there for us. When we repent, God accepts our repentance. When you repent with a true heart, God accepts it. Amen?
Amen.
This theme was echoed by the earlier prophets all consistently because Israel would return and then it would backslide. Return and then backslide. Amen? God would raise up leaders and kings that would bring the people back to God. And then others would raise up that would take the people away from God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
So, we have to look at this in light of our own lives. Amen?
Amen.
There will be people that will try to pull you away from God. There will be people that say, oh, that's a myth. Amen? What you're reading is nonsense. You die, and that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. So you have to be alert. You have to be alert and not allow these thoughts to come in. And sometimes we have to pull away from people.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to do that because God says that there will come a time where you will have to leave your mother, father, brother, sister, whatever, and choose God.
Amen.
101.
Amen. You gotta choose God, amen. Hallelujah, yeah. That's right. Amen, hallelujah. He says that there are those that have left the mother, father. He speaks about they will be rewarded because they've chosen me. Hallelujah. So this verse, return to me and I will return to you, is basically the message of this chapter.
Uh-huh.
The main message of this chapter. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. He's speaking to a nation. National restoration begins with what? Repentance.
Amen.
Repentance. Amen? Look at our nation. Our nation needs to repent.
Amen.
We need to come back to God.
Yes.
We're being led by people that don't know God, that don't care about God in our nation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how many of the people that lead us are truly committed to the Word, to the book.
Mm.
So this nation, we need to repent. We as a nation need to repent. God is saying to us, return to me, and I will return to you.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple hundreds of ministries that are nothing but a facade.
Amen.
Just walls. No spirit inside, the spirit of God. There is a spirit, but it's not the spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the message. Let's go to Zechariah 1:4.
Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Same context, right?
Yes.
Same thing. In these four verses, we're basically receiving the same message. Yes. Don't be like your fathers. Amen.
Yeah.
Love your fathers, love your ancestors, but don't be like them if they did not serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. These are the same prophetic warnings that God gave his people time and time again. Amen.
Amen.
Constantly calling the people to faithfulness to faithfulness. And the reality is that we do have to be constantly called to faithfulness.
Yes, we do.
Because, like Vinit said, amen, we do. We make mistakes. We blow it. We sin.
Yes.
But we serve a faithful God.
Yes,
amen.
We serve a faithful God who says, just come to me. Repent.
Mm-hmm.
We make mistakes, you know. We sometimes yield to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
We do sometimes. Sure. We say things we shouldn't say. We have attitudes we shouldn't have. Not only with people outside, with the members of our own family.
Amen. True.
Because they can really take us for a ride. But, you know, again, God is calling His people to faithfulness. This is what this book, this chapter is about. Mm-hmm. Somebody read. Now we need, I want you to read verses 5 and 6 together.
Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live
forever? But my words, I thought it was together. But my words and statutes which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so He has dealt with us.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. So He's saying, your fathers, where are they? Are they still around? Amen.
Can someone read it again?
I'll read it. Okay. Vinny, you read it.
For your fathers, where are they? Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet surely my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they returned and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us, according to our ways and according to our deeds, so He has dealt with us.
Okay.
Amen. It's going to happen to you. It happened to your fathers if you're disobedient.
Yeah. So He says, you know, that rebellious generation, the prophets, so where are they? They're dead now, right? They're dead. The point here is that human life is temporary. Human life is temporary, amen. If life is temporary, where does your permanence rely? What does your permanence rely on if life is temporary? Then your permanence should rely on the Word of God. That's where your permanence should be, on the Word of God. Not on what you're hearing outside of the Word of God, not on other things. In other words, the Word of God remains forever.
Amen.
The word of God is that stability. Men die. Prophets die. Rebellious generations die. But the Word of God is forever. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. And then He says, so where are they? Where are they? God's judgments will come. Whatever God said, whatever that judgment was, it came to pass. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the exile. That proved God had warned them. And it came to pass. I mean, He warned them in Jeremiah that He would send them into exile for 70 years. And it came to pass. The truthfulness is in the Word. God's judgments come exactly as He predicted them. Amen?
Yep. Amen.
Mm-hmm. So you can count on what God says. You can count on. You can ignore the prophecies, you can ignore the Word of God, but you can't nullify it. You can't make it go away. Amen? God says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the word of God. The soul that sins shall die. But we repent because we are born again. Because we are born again, we get chance after chance after chance after chance. When we repent with a sincere heart, God forgives us. And that's what's marvelous. Amen? That the divine being, the pure being, wherein there is no sin, can forgive us.
Amen.
Can forgive us who sin. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So we should trust the prophetic word.
Amen.
We should trust the prophetic word. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Zechariah 1:7. And somebody read 1:7. Well, chapter 1, verse 7.
On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet.
Okay. All right. So this is approximately in our month, February 519 B.C. This is 3 months after the initial call to repentance. 3 months after, which says to you, have the people repented? You know, what's going on? So this here is when Zechariah begins to receive the visions from the Lord. Amen? Let's go to 1:8. Let's go to verse 8. Have any of you ever had visions? I know Pastor Bernice has had visions. When you have a vision, it's not a dream. I remember some time ago, I ministered on visions and dreams. A vision is not a dream. Amen? A vision, you're awake. You're awake. It's not that you're sleeping, although you can sleep and come into a vision. Go into a vision. But it's like you're there. You have entered another realm, a spiritual realm. So, Zechariah, God begins to open up visions to him. Okay, so 1:8, somebody read verse 8.
During the night, I had a vision, and there before me was a man mounted on a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees in a ravine. Behind him were red, brown, and white horses.
Amen, amen. So he sees a rider on a horse, right? He sees a rider on a horse, amen. He sees a red horse, amen. He sees a what we call a zorro, or it means a dapple horse. You've seen those horses that they have like, they're not spots because they're not brown, but they're like different colors. Like black and gray, but they're dappled. Amen. So he sees a horse like that. He sees a white horse, and he sees a horse, and he sees a valley with trees, myrtle trees. Amen. So that's the picture. So anybody would say, what is that all about? Amen. What are these horses about? And it has nothing to do with the four horses in the apocalypse. So let's not think about that. Okay? So this angel is commonly understood to be or this man, because he said it's a man. So this man is understood to be the angel of the Lord. Amen? So he's a divine messenger, the angel of the Lord. And he frequently appears in the Old Testament, right? We've heard of the angel of the Lord. I think when Jacob was fighting, wasn't he fighting with the angel of the Lord? And many theologians believe this is a pre-incarnate Christ. That means before Christ became man, this is Christ, reflected or manifested in the Old Testament, okay? Pre-incarnate, before
right.
he became
before
flesh.
He became flesh.
Mm-hmm. Amen? So that's who he's seeing, amen? Hallelujah. And the trees likely represent or symbolize Israel. Israel as a restored nation. So the trees represent Israel as a restored nation, not as a as an arrogant nation, not as a fallen nation, but as a nation restored by God. Amen? Humble. Because you know which were the majestic trees? In Lebanon, they speak of the majestic trees. The cedars of Lebanon. That's majestic. Those trees in the Bible represent majesty. They're majestic. Whereas Israel is shown in the mid, or the trees are myrtle trees, a more humble tree. Okay? Amen, amen. So, what they believe is that this valley may represent Israel's low or lowly condition after the exile. Remember, they've been in exile for 70 years. They have been a beaten people for 70 years. They have been a people that was exposed to idols and idolatry. And they have been allowed to come back home. So that's the condition they're in. So he sees this vision, okay? So let's go and find out what this is about. Let's go to verses 9 and 10.
I ask, what are these, my Lord? The angel who was talking with me answered, I will show you what they are. Then the man standing among the myrtle trees explained, they are the ones the Lord has sent to go throughout the earth.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
So let's read verse 10 also.
I read 10 already. You want me to go to 11?
No. I put 9 and 10 together. Did we read verse 9?
Yes.
Yeah, I read 9 and 10.
So the answer, and I will, yes, you're right. So the angel talked to me, and I will show you who they are. Okay. So what are they? Okay. And let me just get a minute here. Show me how to talk to the Father. Okay. All right. So the angel is going to interpret the visions, right? And the horsemen are heavenly messengers, but I think I got a little ahead of myself. Let's read
9.
I mixed up two. I put two verses. Read verse. Okay, we read verse 9. Read 11 and 12. Read these three together. Read them all over. Read them together.
9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
Yes. I ask, what are these, my Lord? The angel who was talking with me answered, I will show you what they are. Then the man standing among the myrtle trees explained, they are the ones the Lord has sent to go throughout the earth. And they reported to the angel of the Lord who was standing among them, among the myrtle trees. We have gone throughout the earth and found the whole world at rest and in peace.
Amen.
just stop there, okay? Okay, I'm going to reread that in my version a minute. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? So the angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. So there's an angel, which we believe is the angel of the Lord, right? And he's speaking to Zechariah. And he's telling him, I'm going to show you what these are, right? So one thing you notice right here, that there's dialogue. This dialogue between the angel of the Lord and the man, indicative of the fact that we can dialogue with God, we can dialogue with the Lord, we can speak with God, amen? You don't have to do a ritual prayer. You can speak to the Lord, you can converse with Him, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's telling them, he's going to show them who these horsemen are, right? And so he says in verse 11, so they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees. So who's talking? The riders on the horses, right? The riders are speaking to the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord is conveying to Zechariah, what is going on? You get that? Amen. So they answered, the angel of the Lord. They answered, who's they? The horsemen. So they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then I have to correct myself. The angel of the Lord appears not to be one of the riders. He is the one within the myrtle trees. And the horsemen are responding to him. Is that clear?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, this is what the horsemen say. We have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly. Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So, God, remember, this is symbolic. I don't think God has horsemen riding all around the earth. God sees all things. So this is symbolic. This is telling you that God is aware of everything that's going on in this earth right now. Is that clear?
Yes.
Amen. And what do they say? Like Hector said, the earth is at peace, right? Resting quietly. Amen? Okay, so the earth is at peace. But then read verse 12, okay? I have to read verse 12 again.
Uh-oh, I got to go back to my book.
Okay.
Verse 12?
Yes.
Okay. Then the angel of the Lord said, Lord Almighty, how long will you withhold mercy from Jerusalem and from the towns of Judah, which you have been angry with these 70 years?
Mm-hmm. 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 How about that? That's fine. How about that? Mm-hmm. So the angel of the Lord is speaking to God, right?
Hello. Yeah.
So they answered the angel of the Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, oh, Lord.
Oh.
Amen. Because the horsemen are saying that everything is at peace and quiet all over the earth. But the angel of the Lord now wants to question God about this peace. This peace. What about this peace? So he says to God, he asks God, how long are you going to be angry with Israel, with Judah? How long will you withhold your mercy from Jerusalem? Amen?
Yeah.
See?
How long?
These people, the world was at peace, okay? The empire was at peace. But what was going on in Israel? See, to the observers, to humanity, to us, sometimes it seems like the world is at peace. Everything is positive, amen? But there was a section that was suffering, and that was Jerusalem. And we forget, we think we're okay and we're at peace, but what about those that are suffering? What about those that have no impact on us because we don't need anything? So the angel of the Lord, and I don't think he had to do that because God needed to know that. He had to do that because we need to know that. Because the Lord has to reflect.
Yep.
The world, yep. The others may seem at peace, but what's really going on? And he's saying, you know, Jerusalem is suffering. Like I said before, they have come down. They have come out of exile. Amen. They're not equipped totally to put things together. They still have that mindset, that lowly mindset. Amen. Yeah. So the angel is saying, so what are you going to do about them, Lord? What are you going to have mercy on them? Because they faced your judgment, right? They faced judgment. They were judged. But now you've allowed them to go back home. When are you going to see the Gentile throwers, the empires, they were experiencing a prosperity. Everything was good. But the Israelites were suffering. Amen. They were suffering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he intercedes for Jerusalem, the angel of the Lord. And when I think about that, you know, I let my mind take off, right? So the angel of the Lord, many believe, is a pre-incarnate Christ. Right? Do you understand where I'm going? And Christ died for the world. He died for you and me. And this angel of the Lord is asking God for mercy on Jerusalem. You know, that says a lot. Amen?
Yes.
So a lot.
Yeah.
Amen. So heavenly intercession. This is a picture of heavenly intercession. Heavenly. It's an angel of the Lord. It's the angel of the Lord interceding with God the Father for people. Hallelujah. Yeah. Should we not intercede for others? Should we not intercede for people that are suffering? Should we not?
Yes, of course.
Yes. Let's go to 13 to 15.
Okay, I got it. And the Lord answered the angel who talked to me with good and comforting words. So the angel who spoke with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. I am exceedingly angry with the nations at ease, for I was a little angry, and they helped, but with evil intent.
That's awesome. That is awesome, amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So God's disposition to Jerusalem has changed. God is now not in a punishing mode, but in a gift for giving and a mode of mercy, right? Mm-hmm. See, God will bring judgment, but then he will bring restoration. Mm-hmm. So now his judgment is giving way to restoration. Amen?
Amen.
So, divine discipline is not God's final word for Israel. They will be disciplined. God disciplines the nation. But ultimately, there will be mercy.
Yeah.
Amen. Ultimately. Amen. And mercy comes when we repent. For Israel will see mercy when the nation repents. And that's the word here. Mercy comes after repentance. God will show mercy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, God's jealousy was because of covenant. There was a covenantal relationship with God and Israel. Remember? Back to Abraham. God made a covenant. And what is so awesome about this is that God does not break his covenant. A covenant is an agreement. A covenant is a contract. But we break our agreements. And we break our covenants. But God does not. Amen. That's what's so wonderful about our God and our salvation. You can pull away from God, but it's not God pulling away from you.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It,
merciful.
Amen. Amen. So despite Israel's failures, God remembers his covenant. He will judge and he will forgive. Amen. So despite our failures, God remembers his covenant. He remembers the covenant that he made. Amen. Salvation is a gift. You don't earn salvation. You don't pay for it. It's a gift. You have to freely accept it. Amen. That's a covenant. Hallelujah. Once you accept it, you have the covenant with God the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. See, nations like Babylon, amen, like Assyria, these nations, and even Egypt, nations came against Israel. God allowed it. God used nations as judgment. But then he judges the nations. They brought forth that judgment against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He said it before, because you did it with evil intent. Mm-hmm. Even though I allowed you to do it, it was your evil. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Yeah. They had exceeded the divine mandate.
Mm-hmm.
You went far and beyond what I wanted you to do. Amen? Do you understand that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what's the principle here? God uses, or he may use nations against each other as an instrument of judgment, amen? But he still holds them accountable for what they did. That seems like contradictory, right? If God is doing it, why is he now punishing me?
Right.
Amen? But here's what I believe. God is all-knowing. So God knows that you're going to do this anyway. So I'm going to use you. Amen? But then I'm going to punish you. Then I'm going to punish you. And I'm going to punish you because you went way and beyond. You did it with evil in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of reminds me of a parent and a child. Right? You can punish your child because they've done wrong. But you don't do it with an evil heart. Right? You don't do it with an evil heart. And then you restore them. You restore them. Right? I think that's the way I see it. That's the way I see it. You know?
Right.
God, I'm gonna punish you. I'm not gonna allow you to do this or that. But after a period of time, I'm gonna restore you. And I'm gonna have mercy on you. Well, these people punished. Many nations came against Israel with such evil intent. Okay, let's go to Zechariah 1:16.
Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. said, he's encouraging the building of the temple. That's what God is doing. He says, my house is going to be built because I said it's going to be built. Amen. And the surveyor's line is just symbolic. Surveyor's measure, right?
Yeah.
But you see the surveyors outside your house or down the street and they're measuring and something is coming up, something is going to be done. So the people can be confident that God is backing what they're doing. Because he said, my house shall be built in Jerusalem. Amen. They have divine backing. Amen.
Amen.
See, this prophecy, after this prophecy, it took another 4 years and the temple was fully built. It was an encouragement to the people. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Covenant restoration was underway. Their covenant with God was being restored. Not that it was ever ended, but in a sense, you know, the people were, the covenant, God himself was acknowledging the covenant that he made with these people. Amen. 4 years later, the temple is finished. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
117.
Amen.
Anybody want to read 117?
It's very short.
Well, it's not. Okay.
Again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my city shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem.
Amen, amen. So the land would recover from devastation. They would once again spread out in prosperity. Amen. Hallelujah. The population would increase. The agriculture would increase. The urban life would increase. Amen. Now, many theologians see this also as a prediction of the future Jerusalem. When Christ fully restores it, amen, amen. Some see it as the messianic period when Christ the Messiah is revealed to them after the Antichrist, amen, and the land is fully restored because these things were happening, but at a slower pace. The land was being restored, the temple was built, prosperity was coming in. So some theologians see it as a double prophecy, the current or what was happening, what was beginning to happen, and the future. Amen? Let's go to 18 and 19.
Then I looked up, and there before me were four horns. I asked the angel who was speaking to me, what are these? He answered me, these are the horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem.
Wow, these are the horns. Amen. So throughout scripture, horns symbolize power and kingdoms.
Oh.
That's what horns symbolize. Power and kingdoms. Amen. The number four often represents worldwide. The scope is worldwide. And these horns represent powers that scattered the people of God. He says it there, right? What are these? These are the horns, okay, the powers, the nations that have scattered Judah, Jerusalem, Israel, right? So remember, they represent kingdoms. So there are four of them. So these are four kingdoms. We don't know really in which order it occurred because the text doesn't identify. But they came against the people of God. There's Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, and Persia. There's Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, and Greece. if you look at these, you know, as we have studied the book of Daniel, we've studied Revelation, that these nations came against Israel. Amen? Do you recognize that?
Yes.
Babylon came against Israel. At some point, Egypt came against Israel.
Yes.
At some point, Medo-Persia, when they conquered the Babylon, and at some point, Greece, Alexander the Great.
Yep, absolutely.
Running through Jerusalem
yes.
and going through all these nations. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what that, the main point is this. The enemies of God's people, God knows them. God knows them. God knows what's occurring. God knows what will happen. Let's go to verse 20.
Okay, the teacher's aid got it. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. I asked, what are these coming to do? He answered, these are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could raise their head. But the craftsmen have come to terrify them and throw down these horns of the nations who lifted up their horns against the land of Judah to scatter its people.
Mm. Okay. So 20 says, then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. Okay?
Yes.
So God, like we said before, he will raise up agents, peoples, nations. Well, he will also raise other nations to dismantle oppressive powers. Okay? The craftsmen are the ones that are going to come against the horns, and so to speak.
Yes.
So to speak. They're the ones that are going to dismantle what the horns have done. Amen?
Amen.
So God raises agents specifically designed to dismantle oppressive power. Like I said, the number matches the four horns. Amen?
Amen.
Every hostile force has a divinely appointed counterforce.
Amen.
So what are we saying? Look at the world today. Every hostile force today, God will raise a counterforce to dismantle.
Yes.
In God's time. In God's time. So God has shown him, yes, these nations oppressed my people. These powers, the horns. Four horns, representative of worldwide nations. Remember, the nations that we spoke of, they were empires. One succeeded the other, and they were at that time worldwide empires. And each of them came against the people of God. And God raised one, and then another, and then another, and another. Amen? Constantly dismantling. So what we see today, we don't know when, but God will dismantle all the evil forces. Amen? Hallelujah. And what you see is historic fulfillment. Assyria fell. Babylon fell. Medo-Persia fell. Greece fell.
Rome
fell.
Yes.
All these powers came against the people of God.
Yes.
If you remember Roman history, the later one, right? We had Assyria, Babylon, Persia, later powers like Rome. They scattered the people of Israel. They forbade the people of Israel to come back to Israel. That's the scattering of the people,
yes.
The diaspora of the Jewish people, of the Israelites. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So what's the point? God remains sovereign over all.
Yes.
God is always sovereign. God is calling his people to repentance. God says, you want restoration? Repent. You want restoration in your personal life? Repent. Amen?
Amen.
We gotta teach repentance. Everything is not honky dory.
Yes.
We have to repent daily.
Yeah.
Our nation has to repent. Our nation has to repent.
Yes.
God is a God of the people. God is a God of the people.
That's
you know
right.
The oppression that's in our nation today?
Yeah.
You know the people whose finances have been cut? Whose abilities to succeed and move up has been cut? You know the children that are being massacred? God said, allow the children to come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Our nation has to repent. Not this false repentance that's taking place to justify the killing of children. I'm sorry, you don't want to hear it? That is not God. That is not God.
Right.
Amen.
God can bring about what God wants. He doesn't need the killing of children and parents all over the world. The starvation. The withholding of medication for continents and as a whole. The withholding of medication if you don't let me take your resources.
Amen.
We got to pray. We got to pray for this country.
Pray, huh?
We got to pray for repentance to come to the higher, to the White House, to the Congress, to all over this world. We got to pray for repentance. Colin, excuse me one second. We got to pray for repentance. And repentance starts with the individual. Mm-hmm. Repentance has to start with you and me.
Yeah.
It has to start with us. And pray that our leaders, those that God has placed in leadership positions, to bend the knee to God. To bend the knee to God. That we have Christian leaders because we are going to suffer. Judgment comes. Judgment comes when we fall away from God, and this nation has to be restored to God. Anyway, I leave you with that. Amen. That's my
amen.